Well, I want to start by saying, to whom much is given, and that is in the Word of God, it's Luke 12:48. To whom much is given, much is required. And that means that what you've been given, you're to use it for the glory of God and to magnify His grace and to lift up one another. I mean, God may have given you much in different things, but it's still for His body. And I'm thankful for that. But there's going to be times that we're coming into, and I believe this, it is something we need to address, and that's compromise. I've always said I can't compromise with the flesh for the sake of unity, but I went through the Word, and I thought, well, I'll just look up that scripture. Well, that's not in there. But there are people who compromised. But there are people that God has given us for an example. And I like this. I think if I titled this, it was Go Along to Get Along? No. Because that's what the world is saying. We've got to go along with it. That way we all get along together. And, you know, that speaks of when we're all together, that's unity. But if we're not speaking truth, you're robbing the saints. I would be robbing the saints if I compromise with the truth that God has put in my heart. If I compromise that just to bring unity, it's not, that in itself is a lie. That is not unity. Truth is oneness. We are to be glorifying and magnifying the Lord, not a person, nobody else. And I want us real quick to go over to Luke, again, chapter 1. I think the more I give this out, the more He brings more in this. But to whom much is given, much is going to be required. I want you to think about Mary the day that she was spoken to by Angel Gabriel in verse 28 of Luke 1. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when you say highly favored, that means you are full of grace. If you want to go in, you can look that up and you'll see. It's you're full of grace. It's all about God's grace, Mary. And you're going to see Mary knew it was God. She had nothing to stand up in herself and say, "Look, I got this and I'm better than you." And why didn't God come to you and say these things? I think it's, she's going to be so humbled. And she said, he said, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. So if you look at that, he's saying you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. And you are blessed in a unique way. Now, a lot of people, if I said you're highly favored, it was in the Greek, and I believe it was in Ephesians. I'm sorry I didn't write the verse down, but that's where you get the Greek meaning, and it was highly favored, was full of grace. Your focus is going to be on Jesus. This is a woman like every one of us. I don't know what she was doing the day the angel came to her and spoke forth these words, but he said, "Mary, you're highly favored. You're going to be so full of God's grace. It's not because anything you've done, Mary." And immediately he said, "And behold, I'm going to show you something. Mary, you're just full of grace. You're highly favored." Okay? And it's not because of something you deserve. It's because of God's favor, God's grace that he shows us. "And behold, you're going to conceive." Mary, we're getting the eyes off you. We're going to get your eyes on the baby. We're going to get your eyes on the gift, and we're going to get your eyes on the prize. "Behold, you're going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to bring forth the son." Yes, Mary, you will be the mother. You're going to be the mother of this son. But you're going to bring forth the son, and you're going to call his name Jesus, Savior. He's going to be great. Not you, Mary. All these words are really putting you in a humble state before God. It's keeping you humble. He's the one who's going to be great. And he'll be called the Son of the Highest. Yes, you'll raise him up. You're still going to be the mother. But he said the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. And that's in, you can look it up later, 1 Samuel chapter 7, 33. And that's the promise of that throne. And he says, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob. For how long? Forever. When God does things, God does it forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. So this is eternal reign. And we know that he will render the kingdom back up to God, but he still will reign over the house of Israel. He is still having his throne, and his wife will be with him. And then Mary said to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And you know, she's just saying, I just don't know how this can be, not saying she doesn't believe it. The angel answered her and said to her, it's because the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest. So get that. It's the power of the highest, higher than anybody, anything. It's all God. And remember, she is a virgin. Therefore, also the holy thing which shall be born of you will be called the Son of God. And behold, he begins to tell her, I want to let you know that your cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived. And she has a son. She's going to have a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her. And by the way, she was called barren. You are a virgin. She was called barren. But with God, nothing is impossible. That's the God whom we serve. It's the God in whom we believe. It's possible with God. It is not possible with man. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And I wrote down, I said, what she's doing is she's received a message. She's accepting or agreeing with the message. And now she's yielding to it. She's going to begin to worship. She said, be it according to thy word. That is one thing today that is being watered down. It's being taken away from. But we have to stand. You know, I think of Paul when he said, remember from whom you've learned these things. And they are value. These are treasures. If someone came in and tried to rob you of one of your highest treasures, how would that make you feel? Would you be happy? Would you just rejoice? Well, I would go to the Lord, go to him in prayer. It's according to thy word. And right then the angel departed. Well, I've done what I was called to do. And you know, as I began to read this, I thought about Rebecca. And I thought about how the Holy Spirit, we remember Eliezer was sent, and he was to get the bride, and he knew where to go, everything. But what did Eliezer do? He took her to her bridegroom. And as I began to ponder this, I thought the Holy Spirit was given to us to lead us and guide us into all truth. We want all the truth so we can be taken right to our bridegroom. He is leading and guiding. When a pastor, when a teacher, when a friend is sharing the word of God with you, led by the power of the Holy Spirit, it should be leading and guiding you into the treasure of your heart. It should be leading you into truth, in all the truth. He was full of grace, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We want to know him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And when he describes her in Song of Solomon, he talks about her feet. And then he begins to go up. Her feet, what a beautiful feet you have. They're good because it's the gospel of the truth going forth. Not the gospel of what I think. Not the gospel. It's not good news. If I don't hear good news, I've heard enough bad news. I want to hear the good things of Jesus. And then Mary goes to Elizabeth. I wonder what she did. Well, she believed it too. She did. But she said, she spoke with a loud voice in verse 42, blessed art thou among women. Not above them, among them. Blessed is what? the fruit. You're blessed because of Jesus. You're blessed because of what God has done. Just like we're seated in heavenly places. Just like we understand to run to win our bridegroom. But we must stay in a humble place. Humble yourself before the Almighty God. He will exalt you in due time. Man is getting exaltation today. My exaltation is not here. My exaltation is in his time and in his way. And I do believe that one day, you know, she is learning. I said in the message I gave, and the Holy Spirit brought it, it was, rise up, my love. It started in John 3:16, his love. Rise up, my love. Enter into the new birth, the new beginning, that new life. But it's my love extended to you. I loved you. I laid down my life for you. I gave you that gift of life. I'm giving you the gift of the power of the Holy Ghost. You need it. You need it to be able to walk in this world of defilement. It's all around us. He is the power. We're always in the place of, I need you, Lord. And she spoke after Elizabeth hears this news. She goes, and it came to pass in 41 when Elizabeth heard it. What do we do with what we've heard? She heard a salutation of Mary. Immediately the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice. And here are the words coming out of her innermost being. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord, the mother of my Lord should come to me? She's believing a deep message. You see, they had the Old Testament scriptures in the beginning. You know, I think it was in Isaiah, there's going to be a child to be born. What do you think Mary felt like when she, I'm the woman? Me? Have you ever done that when God really revealed his grace to you? I hope you do, that you go, why me, Lord? Why you show that to me? Because you're highly favored. It's my favor. It's grace. Not because you deserve it. I think of Paul. When he was Saul on the road to Damascus, think of the things he did. But God knew there was coming a day. Nothing takes God by surprise. He was struck down on the road to Damascus, and he heard the voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You're doing it to me, not to them. When she heard this sound, for lo, as soon as that voice of salutation sounded in her ears, the babe leaped in her womb, but it was for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. She agrees with it. Doesn't know how it's going to come to pass, but she knows that God always has a messenger. God always speaks forth the truth to his people. What will come of it? The truth. What he said. Running to win. Running to win. Don't run if you won. And you know, I've heard so much lately about we're already married and I love the people. But let me tell you something. That's what the basic of the whole church, that's what they're saying. We're all the bride of Christ. It's just coming in another way. That's how I perceive it from the Lord. I am not. We must be ready. We must run, but we must run according to the word of God. And I tell you, that bride is not going to be, I did it. I was the woman out of all of you. You know, it isn't going to be like that. She's going to be humble. Grace humbles you. I remember Norm Lucan, when he told us a long time ago, he said, humble yourself. The Lord lifts up the humble. He gives grace to the humble. He puts down the proud. And he said, well, am I humble or am I proud? I need grace. If you're receiving grace, you're humble. You have a need. You know, it's said that he is going to perform the things that he's already spoken and started in Philippians 1. He will perform the thing. Yes, he will. But he's just giving more grace to you that you have faith to believe it. You walk in the grace of God, that you're highly favored, not because you deserved it, but because now you are the child of God, but a joint heir, if so be that you suffer. How many are suffering for the cause of Christ? How many are really willing to go that way? Not a lot. And there are reasons why that man knows. I don't even have to list them. Man knows why. But usually it goes back to one word, fear. I've not given you a spirit of fear. I've given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. As I went through and I began to look at this, Mary's going to go through a song of praise. And she says, Mary said, my soul, my soul. Remember we had, oh, my soul. It said, my soul. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Why? Rise up, my love. It was my love extended to her. It was my favor I gave to her. And it was like, my soul doth magnify the Lord. We sing, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It should be all praise, all glory to one name, him. My spirit, now notice right here it said, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary began to see, I needed this child. He's going to be my Savior. Elizabeth said, he's my Lord. When you go down to 49, he that is mighty hath done great things to me. You see, he shall be called great. Everything that was done to her was great and mighty things, but holy is his name. It's all about him. His mercy is on them that fear him. That's trust him. From generation to generation, Mary said, he has showed his strength with his arm. His arm, his power. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He put down the mighty from their seats, but he exalted them of low degree. Humble yourself. He filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. As I went through, I looked and it said in verse 55, he spoke to our fathers, he spoke to Abraham, he spoke to his seed forever. Mary abode with her about 3 months and she returned to her house. Is that the end of her experience? No, she was told many things. We've been told many things. Ponder those things. Meditate on the word of God. Now I want you to go over to Daniel. When Daniel was there with the king, he purposed in his heart in verse 8 of chapter 1 that he would not do what? Defile himself with the portion of the king's meat and the wine which he drank. Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he does something. He's humble. It doesn't say he does this every time of every experience. He requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God brought Daniel into favor. Wow, favor again. Tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. Why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. My head could get cut off. A little fear going on again. In the midst, when you're given the word of God, no opposition is going to come against truth. That's how you know it's true. Opposition is there. When I wanted to do good, evil was present with me. What happened in the beginning of time? In the very beginning of the book, the serpent was right there. They had been told one thing, and the serpent comes and tries to change it, switch those words around just a little bit. Well, then when you go on down, it says, Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And that really is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Prove thy servants, I beg thee, 10 days. That's all I'm asking. Could you just give us 10 days? Let him give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Let our countenances be looked upon before all of you after this is done. After 10 days. And 10 in the scripture speaks of responsibility according to the ability that God giveth. Their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children that ate the king's meat. They were eating some good stuff in accordance to what? What man sees, how man thinks. And then they took away the drink from them and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge. God gave them skill in all learning. He gave them wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all the visions and all the dreams. You know, when you go to the end of the thing, you're going to see that the king communed with them. And there was none found like these men. None. Was it because they were special? No, they believed God. That's what they believe, and found them 10 times better than all the magicians. That's who everybody looked to, and the astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even into the first year of King Cyrus. Okay, so you keep going. God proved that they just took a stand. That's all they did. Daniel took his stand and he said, made this request, and he's peaceful. Seek peace, pursue it. Then you go on, and now it's going to be in Daniel chapter 2. He makes this image, and I'm not going to read all these, but he makes this image, and they're supposed to, when you hear the sound of dulcimers, and I always like this because when you hear the sound of music and all these things, that's what's going on in our world today. When you hear the sound of music, bow down. You're to bow down and worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar made, this image, not God. And we all know that what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, he became proud. And he was taken down from that pride. But as you begin to look, it said if they don't bow down, what would happen? They were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? When you go over to chapter 3, I want you to go to, when they're accused, okay? Verse 11 of chapter 3, whoso falleth not down and worship, you better be worshiping the way I worship, that he could be cast into a midst of a burning, fiery furnace. These are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They're not listening to you, king. Why? You're not my king. You're not my God. You're not the Lord of our life. You're the king and you've been put in this place, but these men, O king, have not listened to you. They're not serving your gods, O king. And they're not worshiping the way they're supposed to. The golden image that you set up. Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He spoke in verse 14, and he goes to him. He said, is this true? Is this true? You're not serving my gods? What would you answer to someone? Are you not doing what I said? Are you not listening to me? You're not worshiping the golden image that I have set up? And he said, well, I'm going to tell you, if you be ready, what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, and he names all these instruments, when you hear it, you're supposed to fall down and worship the image that I have made. You'll be cast. If you do not do this, here goes fear again. I am going to put you in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That's pretty prideful. That's a lot of pride. Who, what God do you think can deliver you out of my hands? The very God that put you on that throne. If so be our God whom we serve, and I love these answers. They're not hateful. They just go, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. They believed it. From the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, notice this. They're not saying, well, God will do this. Well, he didn't take the thorn away from Paul. He left it. He's going to take him through the fiery furnace. But if not, be it known unto thee. We already know this. Be it known to you, O king, we will not serve your gods. And we will not worship the golden image that you set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was mad. You could see it on his face. His whole countenance changed. And he began to speak, and he commanded that the heat of that furnace, you put it 7 times hotter. Now they've really made me mad. And he commanded the most mighty men there were that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you remember all through the scripture, when you have a man of God, you may bind them, you may stop them, you may do all kinds of stuff, but the word of God is not bound. It is free, and it's to have free course. When you are of the Lord, you won't be bound. He's going to give you the grace that you'll be able to endure. There were this army, and he said, cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and they cast them right in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took them up. It was so hot that the men that took them up there, it killed them. It was so hot. These 3 men went in. They fell down. And all I can hear is, humble yourself. Be humble. Fall down in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And we know Israel in the days, in the last days, they're going to call out. They're going to know that Jesus was their savior. Nebuchadnezzar the king, he was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and he spoke, and he said unto his counselors, you know, I would rather have 1 counselor and be counseled of our God in all truth than to have a bunch of counselors. Did not we cast these men, all of us together? We're the counselors. I'm the king. Didn't we cast these men into a burning, fiery furnace in the midst of it? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, well, look, lo, I see 4 men. What is going on? This is not coming to pass the way I said it was supposed to be. But these men are not bound. They're loose. They're walking right in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. He's right there. Wherever we are, he's there. I will not allow this to destroy you. I will perfect you. This fire was there, was to kill them. I think it's really bringing forth even more gold, because anything that's of the flesh is going to be purged off. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of a burning fiery furnace, and he spake and said, Shadrach, I could just hear his voice. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, oh, you servants of the Most High God. Remember Mary? The Most High, his power. Come forth. Come hither. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governor, all those people thought they were so mighty. They saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head even singed. And you know, it's easy. Just take a match and go near your hair. It'll singe it real quick. Their hair wasn't even singed. Neither were their coats changed, and the smell of fire had passed on them. They had none of that. Well, they end up, guess what happens? In verse 30, the king promotes them. No, God did. They got promoted. Exaltation. I will exalt you in due time. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon. And he said in the verse above it, he said, there is no God that can deliver after this sort. Are we trusting God to fight our battles? Are we really trusting? I know sometimes we try to fight it ourselves. It won't do anything until you let go. Let go, let God. Be still. No, I'm God. I'm the God. No, man has not accepted me as God, the authority over all. But that doesn't matter, because I am the authority. Overall, they just haven't experienced that yet, but they will. Then you go, and then what happens again? And this came up to don't compromise. Don't compromise. Daniel was told he was going to be, they would do what? In chapter 6, verse 4, Daniel had been preferred above everyone, okay? But he didn't go around haughty in spirit. He really didn't. The presidents, the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find any fault, for as much as what? He was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found where? In him. I can say a lot of things, but God wants to work it in me. Then they're going to sit there and reason with themselves. Like, okay, then said the men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Well, they went to the king and they said, live, O king. And you know what? We'll do a petition. If any God or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he's going to be cast into the lion's den if they make any request to any other god or any other person. It's you, O king. I bet that king loved all that. Now, O king, establish your decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Well, Darius signed the writing and the decree. And Daniel, remember, don't you do it. Don't you make a request to your God or to anybody else. When the writing was signed, Daniel knew it's signed. He went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed. I like it says three times a day, but he prayed. And when he prayed, he gave thanks before his God. You see, we pray, but we should be thanking him. I'm thankful because I know you're able to do this. I don't know how you'll do it. I don't know when you'll do it, but I know you can perform the thing. The men assembled and found Daniel. Here he is. He's praying. He's making supplication before his God. They came near and they went right to the king. You ever seen people like that? I'm going to go right to the king and I'm going to tell him exactly what you're doing. They went to the king and they told him. Now, you know, O king, you signed that decree, right? And it was that no man could make any petition to any god or man for 30 days save thee, O king. Or what was going to happen? They're going to be cast into the lion's den. The king answered and said, yeah, the thing is true. And then you keep going, and it's going to go. The king commands them in verse 16, because they tell him, Daniel, he did what? Daniel did what he did aforetime. If you look in verse 10, it says he prayed, he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Don't change your mind. Don't compromise just because of fear. Well, I'll get thrown in the lion's den. Maybe I shouldn't pray. Well, God will know. I couldn't pray because I'll get thrown. He didn't do that. He did what he did aforetime. It was real to him. He knew where to go. And he made his supplication before God. And he was crying out to him. The king commands him at verse 16, they brought Daniel, and they did. They cast him into the dens of lions. And the king spake, and he said to Daniel, you know, I'm sure he thought, man, I was hasty at this. He knew God was with Daniel. And he tells him, he said, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. How did he know that? He had seen the faithfulness of God many times. A stone was brought. It was laid on the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet. And there was no way out of there. Okay, he's in there with the lions. Verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, because the king comes early in the morning, and he goes to the den of lions. And when he came there, he cried with a lamentable voice. I believe it was a woeful voice. He's crying like, oh, I hope I hear what I want to hear. He said he came and his voice unto Daniel. The king spake and said, Daniel, oh, Daniel. I love it. Oh, anytime you see, oh, my soul, or oh, Daniel, there's something going on in here. Servant of the living God, is thy God whom you service continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. I bet those were words he was really happy to hear, just his voice. My God sent his angel, and he shut the lion's mouth. Mouths. It was more than one, by the way. They have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. Now notice, inasmuch as before him, not before man, not before a king in high honor, not before the people who followed him, but in the eyes of his God, innocency was found in me, also before thee. When God does a work of heart, you're going to see it. You're going to see not just God. It's God first, but men are watching. You're the book they read. O king, have I done no hurt? I haven't done this. And they brought those men in verse 24. The reason why he didn't get hurt, if you go to 23, it's because he believed in his God. It all comes back to, Lord, I believe. And Savior, raise my faith in thee. Continue to build me up in your word so I'll stand and withstand the wiles and the trickery of the devil. The king commanded, and they brought these men which had accused Daniel, the accusers of the brethren, and they cast them into the dens of lions. Them, their children, their wives, the lions had mastery over them and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. King Darius wrote to all the people, the nations that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. And he told them, he's going to promote them, but he's also going to say the power, their God delivered them. He rescued them. There's signs and wonders from heaven in the earth who delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. God, he's promised us by Paul's teaching. He said, the godly, those who live godly, you are going to suffer persecution. But if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, so be it. Lord, I believe this is what thou would have me to do. I would rather that the God of all grace be on your side than to stand with many and be wrong. You see, people say majority is it. Not in God's word. David didn't have a whole bunch of people to go out and fight with him. He just had to believe God. And he just went, and hey, well, I'm going out. But he did one thing. The armor that he had, he knew God had given it to him. It was real. And that's what he would stand in. That's what he believed. And when you put on that armor, don't forget the one thing that we tend to forget. Prayer. Pray. Paul said, pray for us that we have boldness to speak what God would have us to say. We need prayer and supplication before God. And it'll be, and Jean has taught me this so many times, of it's your attitude in what you do. It's not what you do. It's the attitude and why you did it. Why was that said? Or why did you do that? And then you'll understand, I think, a little bit better of Romans chapter 7. I thank my God through Christ Jesus, my Lord. He's the one who's given me the victory. And that will be our rejoicing. We are to magnify the grace of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Give thanks at all times. And I don't believe everybody's just going to go, oh, well, I'm just going to praise the Lord and give thanks. It's a growing process, and you're going to. That's why he said tribulations, more than one. They are for a purpose, but I love the end of the thing, that the love of God is going to be shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's the love of God. How, rise up, my love, and come away. Rise up. Let's all pray.